Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Tuesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Today is December 8th, 2015. If you're joining us late, we were solo in the first hour covering some news and current events.
Yeah.
In hour number two, we are joined by Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show, heard live here on Global Star Radio Network. We're going to get to him in just a second.
Yeah, and folks, look, right now, those of you, unless you're driving or unless you're, you know, doing something that... you know, you couldn't do this. Go to thecommonsenseshow.com. It's, just go right there, right now. Do it. We gotta do it because on the Common Sense Show, read the article, the latest, Dave's latest article. My goodness. Okay. It'll wake you. I mean, it'll put things, Dave's got a knack and sources of putting things together. Very interesting. Before we get to Dave, real quick here, I was, actually going to break out in the song Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. I'm not going to do that. I was going to mention Nut King Cole. Yeah, I know. I've got nuts in my head, right? That's what people have been saying. I just can't help it because, you know, the holidays are fast approaching and none of us should show up empty handed to parties or to, if you're having a get together on your own. And, I found this great website that we found it, and we want to tell you about it. It's nuts.com, and it's hard to forget, nuts.com. It's so simple, nuts.com. Nuts.com is really the most simple and most convenient way to have nutritious, delicious, healthy snacks, nuts, and some of the other tasty treats from around the world delivered right to your door. I love it. You get a box. It's got a cool writing on it. It's all fun. Right now, folks, right now, new customers get the nuts.com holiday tin free with your purchase. It's a $20 value. For full details, go to nuts.com. Click on the microphone box there, or the mic, and enter code HH for that value. Don't wait. This is an incredible deal. It ends really soon. Go to nuts.com. Folks, look, they got mini yogurt pretzels. They got cinnamon toast, caramel half pop, popcorn, sugar cookies.
I still want to try one of those yogurt pretzels.
Oh, you know, I got cranberries, too. I got cranberries in my office. Man, are they good. The chocolate cover, chocolate covered cranberries. If I had a safe, I'd put them in my safe. But anyway, the offer is good for this while supplies last. So don't miss out, folks. Again, new customers, go to nuts.com. You get a holiday tin free with your purchase. That's a $20 value. For full details, go to nuts.com. Click on the mic. Enter our code HH. This offer expires soon. You got to do it. So do it tonight. Do it today. Do it tomorrow. Enter code HH. Again, that's HH. You got to do that. Otherwise, I'm going to spank you. All right.
All right. We have with us Mr. Dave Hodges from The Common Sense Show, heard right here on Global Star Radio Network. His website, thecommonsenseshow.com. And you can hear him live on Global Star Radio Network on Sundays, 8 to 11, is it? No? Or 8 to 10?
He's a great friend of the program. We'll just have Dave talk
well,
to
him.
I'm going to be on his show the first hour, by the way, next week.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Good to be with you guys. A lot going on. For the first time, I think I've got more to process than I got time to process it in.
Yeah, folks, this is one busy guy. Let me tell you something. That's all I'm going to say. He's very busy. He's got the contacts, and he's got the information to share. So let's get right into it, Dave. Where do you want to start, man? Yeah.
Man, that's it. I got a case of literary ADHD. It's hard to know where to start.
Yeah.
Let's start with our president.
We don't have one, but if you're referencing Bruce,
well, let's start with the Muslim in chief.
All right, there we go.
Okay, we all know who I'm talking about. He gets up there on TV, and, oh, we got to be careful. We got to be careful. We don't want to go against the Muslims and offend them. Hey, Mr. President, how about the 14 people that just got murdered by a member of ISIS who you support through the CIA? How about that, Mr. President? Excuse me, Mr. Muslim in chief.
Yeah.
The insensitivity to the victims. And he cries over Sandy Hook when no one got killed. And he expresses almost no condolences when real people die. Let me back up, Doug. I'll cut right to the chase and we can process this. We are looking at ISIS in a series of probing actions. And I want to go back and start in April with Judicial Watch a highly respected research group uncovered documents that showed that the American government and the Mexican government were in cahoots with an ISIS base camp 3 miles from the border, 8 miles from El Paso. ISIS. They implicated the drug cartels, Hamas, Hezbollah, and they've been implicated with the drug cartels too, Hamas and Hezbollah, since 2006. Excuse me, and I've documented that several times. And so what we have now is an ISIS presence, you know, right off our border, and now I'm hearing we have over 200 ISIS base camps across America. The FBI director on July 4th said we have ISIS presence, and they have active cases in all 50 states. And they're probing us. Let's go to in June. Let's go to an event in June. Do you remember when the F-16 was brought down in Arizona?
And listen carefully to this, folks.
It wasn't shot down. It wasn't really brought down. It just fell from the sky. There was an Iraqi general piloting the plane out of Luke Air Force Base, and the plane was near Douglas, Arizona, which is right on the border, and no mayday call, no pilot ejection. This plane just plummeted from 10,000 feet. They couldn't find the pilot's body for the longest time because of the fact that they were looking outside the plane, assuming he tried to eject. They found him right in the cockpit, and there was a catastrophic failure of power in that plane. And as I dug deeper and dug deeper and dug deeper, I discovered that this plane was brought down by a localized EMP weapon. And the weapon was operated by ISIS, and it was a Russian satellite uplink weapon. Now, you want to hear something really bizarre? This past Sunday on the TNT show Agent X, the actress who plays the vice president, her helicopter was brought down by something very similar. Talk about just, you know, spilling the beans on the American public. And the sources I have for this event are beyond reproach. One of them was one of the same sources who led me to those stunning revelations 3 years ago with regard to Benghazi and the fact there was a near coup of opportunity involving General Hamm, who, by the way, is now turned Muslim, and also Admiral Guyette, as they tried to rescue Stevens against presidential orders. They were arrested. They were going to parade him out and basically cause a coup because Stevens would have known he had been given up, and he would have sung like a canary, and that would have brought this administration down. And it came close. They came close to succeeding. Well, that same source was behind this EMP report. And this means that the ISIS brought, it's kind of funny they brought down a plane with an Iraqi general on it, Doug, because ISIS hates the Iraqis. They hate the Iraqi military. And that makes perfect sense on why they'd start there. And I had a subsequent conversation during that time with Steve Quayle, and he had told me that some of his people had told him, yeah, they can identify a plane by a number of variety of means, and this plane was specifically targeted. This means that they're practicing on taking planes out of the sky. This is a beta test for that. But this isn't the only beta test that took place. We had Abdul Aziz in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and what he did was very clever. He attacked one shopping mall, fired over 70 rounds, drove 9 miles to his real intended target, and took out initially four, and then a fifth died, service recruiters, who, by the way, are ordered by Obama to be unarmed. And he did something right out of Sun Tzu's playbook. He attacked to draw the enemy away, and then knew he'd have more time to carry out his deed. And what I have learned is that was a practice tactic. Abdul Aziz was checking first responder. How many resources would they commit to one scene? Because they plan on doing something very similar according to what my sources believe. And one of these guys is former Army operations, Special Operations. And he said the tactic is to draw your first responders in to a fake attack and take them out. And then you basically have full reign for quite a period of time. And that was the Chattanooga incident. So we have that. And then let's catapult forward. And I won't go through every case, but let's go to San Bernardino. this is even more concerning. I had Bob Griswold on my show a couple weeks ago, and Bob has a very interesting background, and I'm not at liberty to reveal everything, but I will tell you, he knows what he's talking about. And he said one of the strategies, if they were going to take out a school, would be to have two teams block off the main entrance, take out the first responders, and then these people would have, inside of a school or a mall, they would have 10 to 15 minutes to carry out their acts of terror, which is forever in a gunfight.
That's right. Yep.
So they're ramping up. They are beta testing our response modes, and they're becoming more sophisticated. And yet this Muslim in chief's response to the attack in San Bernardino, he insinuated this could have been workplace violence. Excuse me? You're upset about a Christmas party, so you go and somehow magically procure 19 rifles, radio-controlled bombs, and you've got military hardware that probably costs in excess of about $80,000 to $100,000 over a Christmas party? We're supposed to believe this hogwash? I mean, I'm in Arizona, and I can smell the excrement oozing off this president from 3,000 miles away. This is absolutely insane. And again, it speaks to the fact that he is not a leader for the American people. He is complicit with ISIS coming into the country. He's complicit with what's happening. It's just, it's crazy, Doug. So I believe this is where we're headed. We're headed for a Tet Offensive. If people are too young to remember the Vietnam War, I remember as a kid in 1968, LBJ proclaiming, "We're winning the war, we're winning the war, just be quiet, it'll be over soon." And the South Vietnamese, under General Giap, attacked every provincial capital in South Vietnam on the same day during the Tet ceasefire, during their Tet lunar holiday, and violated the ceasefire. But what they did show is they were capable of attacking anywhere. They even took over the embassy in Saigon for a while. And the American people knew right then that LBJ had been lying to us. The war was nowhere near being over. And this is ultimately the watershed event that turned public opinion against the war and therefore destroyed the war effort. America stopped supporting the war. Well, I believe that ISIS is preparing to launch a Tet Offensive kind of attack. It's not going to be one or two targets and soft kill. It's going to be 50, 100. I don't know how many. But I can tell you it's going to be multiple. And what I've also learned, Doug, and then I hope the listening audience is sitting down, I wrote about this in June of 2014. My sources were DEA, Border Patrol, and ex-DHS. I mean, this has been triple-sourced. And then Scott Bennett, former Army Special Operations Officer, knew a fair amount about this as well, too. Outside San Salvador, in El Salvador, there's a terrorist base camp in which they do paramilitary training. Who do they train? The drug cartels, MS-13, ISIS, Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, Hezbollah. Where do they get the weapons? Out of Peru, from the Sanchez Paredes drug cartel, which is the biggest drug cartel no one's ever heard of. It's the biggest one in the world. They are the conduit between Middle Eastern terrorism, drugs, and as well as guns. Come from the Muslim Brotherhood, courtesy of the president's half-brother, Malik Obama, who's the head of finance and guns, gun procurement for the Muslim Brotherhood, comes through the Sanchez Paredes. They distribute it to El Salvador, and they do all this training there. They have RPGs. They have all kinds of exotic weaponry, the latest in 50-caliber machine guns, and now we have base camps in this country on the border. And we know ISIS is flowing into the country courtesy of the refugee resettlement program. The FBI tells us, Doug, that we've got 10% of Muslim extremists in any Muslim population. So when they let in 25,000 people to New Orleans and Baton Rouge from Syria, they're letting in 2,500 terrorists. And I'll kind of conclude this rant with this one statement. 2,500 terrorists in one fell swoop came into the country, statistically speaking. It only took 7 terrorists to take down a city the size of Paris.
Yeah. Exactly.
If we could take a step back, Dave, about the San Bernardino shootings, you mentioned something that was rolling through my mind as this incident was taking place. Do you think that there was a secondary? I mean, I know that they were ready to blow up the first responders, But do you think there was a secondary attack point?
Yes.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that it was, they were looking for an opportunity, but it didn't materialize.
Yeah. And we had talked earlier, sorry, Joe, we had talked earlier, Dave, about their the bombs that they had crafted but were not detonated or didn't detonate. You want to broach that subject at all?
Nothing except really what you just said. I mean, that's pretty much the way that it is. But see, they're moving into an area that Bob Griswold talked to us about on my show here on Global Star a few Sundays ago. And he said that don't just look for the terrorist attack, look for the hits on the first responders. He nailed it. It's almost as if he would have had advanced knowledge on what was going to happen in San Bernardino. He laid it out just the way that it went down. But see, Bob's not the only one. As I talk to other people, you know, with a special operations background, they'll tell you exactly the same scenario. This man was a plant, and he was highly trained. He was highly trained. He didn't get to carry out his complete mission. But you got to remember, I believe that these TACs are beta tests. They're gathering data and intelligence to use for future attacks. And I feel this in my bones, and I know that's not a scientific statement, but to the inner core of my being, I know massive attacks are coming, and they're going to happen all at once. And this country is going to be thrown into chaos that it's never seen.
And I agree with that. And we were taught, just if I can kind of pat my own self on the back a little bit, WBEN out of Buffalo back in, I don't know, 10 years ago, we were talking about the Islamic terrorists, Muslim terrorists,
compounds.
Well, compounds, but also going after the first responders. That's really that was a big thing, and continues to be. So you're right, and you on your article too. ISIS is planning major offensive against multiple targets in the United States. You're talking about, of course, you had mentioned and framed the issue about the first responders as well. So, I mean, this article, folks, visit thecommonsenseshow.com and take a look at this article, which is just very comprehensive, extremely comprehensive, putting together not just Dave Hodges' own sources, but also putting together open source areas like sites like Judicial Watch and other. It's just phenomenal. Plus, going back into what Dave's being proven correct in his writings, because you go back a couple of years to what Dave Hodges wrote about, and it's coming to pass today. And people were saying, oh, it's a bunch of hooey. Yeah, look.
Yeah, well, Doug, let me address that, too, because sometimes we get pieces of a story, and we know that it's anomalous, we know it's not good, but we don't have enough information to see the entire picture. And a lot of what I discovered back in 2014 that I published, that I republished in some places in today's article, was an example of that. Now a clear picture is beginning to emerge.
Oh, there you
and
go.
I never connected the Central American invasion of 2014 to everything that's happening today, but I can see how this has been a cleverly orchestrated plot designed to put terrorists in our country by any means possible. You know, Donald Trump got vilified today by saying we need to stop. I think he said it yesterday. All Muslims need to be stopped from coming into the country. You know, no more immigration for Muslims. I wouldn't go as far as Mr. Trump, but I would tell you what I would do. No Muslim immigration without thorough vetting from the FBI. Thorough.
But see, okay.
Can't verify them. They don't get in.
Man, by default, they wouldn't get in, because how would you verify somebody from Syria, a refugee from Syria, when the, it would be like me trying to do a background check on somebody that, there would be no records of anybody, basically. They're gone.
Yeah.
Or the sources are corrupted.
Doug, I don't want to make a pejorative, prejudicial statement. I'll just say this. If you can't verify the background, they don't get in.
Amen. What about the people here, though? Because the people here, as Joe mentioned, and you and I have talked about this, look, I've been to these Islamic terrorist training camps, and Joe has too, Islamburg, New York, where you've got the Muslims of the Americas headed by Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jalani, who's bat, you know what, crazy. Okay, they're, you know, appealing to black Muslims, and of course that they were, you know, associated with the Beltway snipers. But you got all these little institutions and compounds all over the country. They're already here. What do we do about them? Because certainly the FBI.
If I were in charge for a day, I would have all the DHS agents, all the FBI agents. I'd borrow from military intelligence if I had to, and I was short of numbers. And I would be basically incarcerating these people until I could validate their security risks. And if they're security risks or you can't validate the fact that they aren't, they get deported.
Okay. Well, I'm in. Look, at this point, you know, what we're seeing right now with Europe and how it's being balkanized and how these people are coming in here with no intent on assimilation, no desire to assimilate. We either become an American or get the hell out of the country.
Well, I have another proclamation that I would throw out there, too, if I were president for a day. It's regard to the soft kill zones. If I had the authority, what I would do is I would declare all soft kill zones to be eligible for concealed carry with proper training. I mean, we don't want teachers in schools that don't know how to handle a gun who are given a gun, but we do need teachers in schools who are trained. Soft kill zones, or what we call gun-free zones, are a euphemism for let's herd them together and massacre all of them. Do you know what the procedure is? It's I talked about this yesterday on my show. In most public schools, they instruct the teacher, turn off the lights, lock the door, and herd your students to one side of the room. That's brilliant. Like an AK-47 is not going to be able to shoot through a locked door or through the walls that are housing your students. No, when you hear the shooting, you run like hell the other way. That's what you got to do. And it's harder to hit a moving target running at angles. It's crazy what they do in the public schools. And I would just say this, okay, and I'm reaching this point myself, Doug. I have a big decision to make coming up here with regard to my own son. It's not safe to be in a school. It's not safe to be in a mall. It's not safe to be anywhere where they forbid guns. And I'm starting to form the opinion, and some people are going to be critical that I'm not going full bore on this in the moment, and maybe that criticism is justified, but I am forming the opinion that all parents need to think about homeschooling their kids, and that everyone in a university and college right now needs to drop out and re-enroll in online programs, because you are not safe.
Exactly.
This president could care less whether you live or die. This president will use every false flag shooting as an excuse to grab our guns. Why? Because we would be defenseless. Defenseless against what? Against his New World Order agenda, which is to install martial law, have forced conscription camps. In fact, this is a good time for me to review something else. Executive Order 13603, Section 601, 501, and 801 all talk about the same thing, slave labor. Two drafts, one military and one civilian, and if they call you a consultant, it's slave labor. They don't have to pay you. They can separate mothers from fathers and then send the kids off for safe haven, safe holding, according to their words. Just remember this. The word consultant means unpaid. It says it right in the executive order. This is what Obama wants to do to us. He wants to seize every resource. Under 13603, you cannot hoard food, you cannot hoard water. The government controls all business, all food production, all water sources, everything. This is what we're headed towards. And why do they want to do that? Because they want to eliminate our ability to resist, because they're going to take us into a war where 90% of us will be killed. That's why.
That exactly. See, you can see that, and you understand, and I think people need to understand the bigger picture behind this. They're looking at we know Islam as it is taught with the Quran and Hadith is inherently evil, and it's a religion of death. It's a death cult, and I say that intellectually and academically in my professional opinion. Okay, now. But people will stop there and not see the handlers behind this, who's directing Islam like a rabid dog, or, you know, whatever, right?
Well, I agree. I think that Islam. Well, let's look at what Steve Quayle, who was on my show Sunday night, had a great line. He was talking about the prohibition against speaking out against Muslim terrorism. And he called the Attorney General Loretta Lynch Mob. What a great line, Steve. But anyway, Loretta Lynch Mob, I'm sure you've covered this, she has said, we're coming after you if you speak out against Muslims. Wait a minute. One of your Muslims just killed 14 Americans who did nothing wrong. And you're not talking about the terrorists. You're not talking about going after that. You're talking about going after Americans who've had enough and they're going to speak out. Yeah, I mean, where's the First Amendment, Loretta Lynch mob? And where's your duty as the Attorney General to protect and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic? Well, we got foreign and domestic enemies here. One of them is the president. And I can't believe they're going to start arresting people like they do in Germany. You know, in Germany, if you publish something on Facebook that's anti-Muslim, you go to jail. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yep.
I saw a town hall meeting where they were. It was about this refugee immigration situation, and it was a town of about 1,000 people, and the mayor of that town, when posed a question by one of the locals, said, "If you don't like it, you can move." You know,
ridiculous. But you're exactly correct. See, this is why we need the Second Amendment to protect the First and really all others. But what we're having right now is this, as you point, Loretta Lynch mob. I love that. I'm gonna have to write that down. But
and she walked those comments back yesterday. But
too late.
Yeah,
too little, too late.
And you're right. And she went on to say in that article that it was her greatest fear, you know, that this, you know, these incidents would further raise the level of anti-Muslim rhetoric, something along those lines. I mean, it was just ridiculous what she said. She got called out on it by a former congressman.
But Dave, are we falling into the trap, though? Let's look at this, like, take a few steps back. Are we falling into the trap of just saying, okay, Muslim's bad, Christian's good, which I fully believe that.
But divide and conquer.
Right.
You're right. Listen, I don't care what religion someone practices, but their right to practice their Sharia law religion stops at my infidel nose.
There you go.
And when cross over, then I speak out, and I'm done putting up with it. I won't cower in the corner. I'm not a chicken Christian. I feel commanded to stand up and fight for what's right. I will defend my faith. I will defend my family. And I am encouraging every American to conceal and carry. You've never heard me say that before, Doug. I'm there. We are at war. Every one of us is on the front line, and we are a target, and your government has left you defenseless. It's up to you to protect yourself. You need to be armed 24/7.
Absolutely. Well, Joe and I mean, in my case, I take my security detail with me. Oh, yeah, that's just Smith & Weapon. Smith & Weapon. Wow, is that a slip? Smith & Wesson. But, yeah. We have to. And I think it's only prudent to do so. And people might balk at that. But I think I personally will not visit any gun-free zones if I can't defend myself. I'm not going to go anywhere where I have to, you know, leave my gun, leave my personal protection. I think it's ridiculous to do so. If you're at the mall, you know, at least you got a chance to shoot back. And I understand it's not the same like when you're at the range. I get that. But you know what? I'm not going to be left helpless or defenseless. And I think that's, Dave, I think that's a wise promotion on your part.
Well, we got a real good clue about what's really coming under martial law. We haven't talked about the specifics of it. But when Sandy Hook allegedly, in quotes, happened, and I agree with Jim Fetzer, and the banishment of his book by Amazon is proof that they're afraid of the truth, and Jim speaks the truth. But when Jim Fetzer wrote, "No one died at Sandy Hook," I totally agree with that. And what we're looking at here now is a president. In fact, I wrote an article last week, and this will really encapsulate the point I'm trying to make. Under this president, we've had 163 mass murder incidents. All presidents combined going back to who was it, the last? I think it was Ronald Reagan, 28.
Wow.
And then I calculated the number of months and so forth. I did a little statistical analysis. A person today under the Obama administration is almost 10 times more likely to become the victim of mass murder violence involving at least four or more people than they were under the four previous presidents.
And that's what fulfills the standard of a mass shooting incident is four or five people, including the gunman, being shot and killed.
Well, is that the cutoff? I mean, is that the
yeah, well, from what I read last week, right, there was a map and everything.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I addressed that in my article. It's the official definition is four or more. And the statistical anomalies under this president, and the fact that they're picking up steam and frequency and intensity under this president, speaks to his desperation as he's leaving office to leave his mark. And we are headed for a lot more. And I don't know how anyone couldn't conclude. Let me put it this way. If we only had a year of Obama numbers like this with false flag shootings or mass murder incidents, I should really say, then we would have maybe an anomaly. But when we have nearly 7 years of this statistical pattern that far outstrips the four previous presidents in terms of mass murder events, we have a pattern.
That's right.
We have an agenda. This president and his administration is knowingly participating in the murder of American citizens to further perpetuate an agenda. I mean, didn't we not learn anything from Fast and Furious and the death of Border Patrol officer Brian Terry? I mean, we caught them dead, red-handed. We knew what they were doing. I talked to one of the gun owners in one of the Glendale, Arizona stores, and he said that they didn't give him a choice but to participate. He said they came in and found some violations in some of the guns he had. They told him 10 years, or you participate in the shipment of these guns to Mexico. And we know that these guns were used to kill Americans. And so why is anybody surprised now when I'm making the allegation that this administration is about false flags incidents to promote a political agenda? It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. The numbers prove it.
Right. Right. You're precise in your discussion. And I love your, well, I respect your conclusion here. I don't like the conclusion of your article. Your latest, folks, go to thecommonsenseshow.com, and you write where we're being probed by an increasingly sophisticated enemy who's well armed and well financed. You know, bottom line, it's this Obama, Barry Satoro, Barack Hussein Obama, he has actually opened the doors and allowed this mass, well, not just him, it's the Clinton criminal
Bush
cabal. And yeah, Bush to some extent really set us up for this, don't you think? I mean,
yeah. Well, before we go to Bush, let me just finish a thought though with the Chinese.
Go ahead.
After Sandy
yes.
Hook, do you remember what the Chinese came out and said? You need to hurry up and seize the guns of Americans.
Oh, I remember that. I remember you saying that.
Well, let me tell you what I think this means. I think there's special significance to this because when we go under martial law, if there's any kind of civil disobedience in the country, and there will be, and if there's any kind of potential civil war action, and I believe there will be too, by treaty, the United States brings in some of its United Nations partners, mm-hmm. and I think that's why China was speaking out about getting the guns, because the Chinese soldiers have been tabbed to come into the country and be one of the multinational forces under the UN flag to enforce martial law in this country.
And people will laugh at that, you know. It's nothing to laugh at. Look at the property ownership, the commercial property ownership by the Chinese. Look at the bases by the Chinese. Look at the infiltration by the Chinese.
In the recent...
Try to get something that's not made in China.
Okay. The recent raise of their currency to the IMF reserve status.
Right. Right. So, yeah, I mean, the people laugh saying, oh, we don't have foreign troops on the soil. We got a heck of a lot of foreign troops on our soil, both uniformed and non-uniformed, overt and covert.
I've covered this ad nauseum, and I've covered it on your show. I've covered it on my website. And no matter the proof that I give, you know, here's the smoking gun proof for Russian troops on our soil. I have a copy of a document signed between the Obama administration and the Russian Foreign Ministry to bring, I want you to listen to my words very carefully, I'm going to be very precise,
okay,
to bring in the first 15,000 Russian soldiers for disaster training. Now, I have a couple reactions to that when I first heard that. One, my first reaction, what is the National Guard, EMTs, and other first responders going on vacation? Why do we need Russian soldiers to be first responders? Then the second thing is, it said the first 15,000. didn't say the last, it said the first 15,000. Folks, they're here. I've published videos and pictures and eyewitness testimonies. They are here. Some estimates place as many as 300,000 on our soil. Some say about 250,000 Chinese. I mean, we should. I wish we could go. Doug, we should do a field trip one day and go to Long Beach Port that's been handed over to the Chinese.
Yeah.
The stories that I'm getting out of Long Beach are Chinese soldiers coming in the containers. Then they dress them into civilian clothes, and they send them off to the solar energy zones that the BLM has set aside for Chinese investors. In fact, that's what the Bundy Ranch was all about. They wanted to basically take the land away from Bundy, and they were creating a Chinese solar energy zone. And I had the BLM documents to prove it. No one wanted to listen, but I had the documents. And that the company that was running the solar energy zones were the Chinese military, a front group for the Chinese military. This is how they're sneaking their troops into the country.
Okay. All right. And folks, think about that for a moment and run that through your mind, because it makes sense, doesn't it? Going back to the giveaway, if I suppose that's the word, the giveaway of the Panama Canal that started everything, really the ball rolling, at least in North America, in my view, if you want to put a historical time marker. But yeah, look at what's taking place. Long Beach. I've heard a lot about activity there, not to the extent which you just referenced.
Well, I saw a really good YouTube video, and I have it in my archives. I don't recall the name of the producer. It was the most concise and well-presented presentation on this I'd had ever seen. And they told how they were doing it. And there's an awareness among the American military this is going on. Now, some of these soldiers show up in joint training exercises. You know, they get into the port bases and they're housed there, and then they go out on ships and they participate in the, RIMPAC war games. Now, you know what's interesting about that? I wrote about that back in November of 2013. RIMPAC is a war game involving 12 nations in the United States, and they practice against Russian and Chinese naval strategy. And now we're letting the Russians and the Chinese practice in these. Talk about giving them the keys to the car.
Wow. Yeah, I remember not too long ago the Russian special forces came over to Colorado and trained in the CIA headquarters out there and another important government building, and these were elite special forces who came in, and there's been training like that all across the country.
Do you remember, going back to ISIS for a second, do you remember in April when I got that long, lengthy letter from an officer allegedly in the Texas Rangers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
yep.
Everything that he said in that email is coming to pass.
You didn't want to give the whole thing out, or right?
Well, I printed the original email, and I redacted a couple of things that I thought might reveal identity. He was pretty careful, though.
Right.
And I don't know who this guy is from Adam. I took a real chance, you know, publishing this. But I go back to this now. I think it was a good decision, because everything he said is coming to pass. The potential of ISIS. He told me to focus less on the Walmarts in Jade Helm and possible detention facility usage. He said focus on the fact that ISIS is streaming across the border, and the Texas Rangers had intelligence information which basically said they could take over police departments, small cities, and so forth. And he said this is what the Texas Rangers were preparing for. And not even 2 days later after I published that, I heard from the nephew of a high-ranking police official in that same area, and I'm going to be real, I do know who this person is, and I've actually had conversations with members of their family. They told me the same thing. They said, what I published with that email is exactly the intel that local people in Texas had in law enforcement. And everything he said is beginning to come to pass. Mark my words, we're going to see takeover of police stations. We're going to see the massacre of first responders.
Yes.
I mean, I hate to sound so, I almost sound like I don't care. The fact is, it scares the living heck out of me that we live in this time.
But we've been conditioned. Like you point out in your article, okay, the predictive programming and television, but we've been conditioned for so long. I mean, we are talking about the incident in San Bernardino, you know, almost in a ho-hum kind of fashion. Again, that's not to say that's how we're doing it, but it's almost like there's this resigned acceptance about this. If you dial back maybe 10, 15 years, or even any time pre-9/11, you wouldn't be talking like this, would you? I mean, you know, Muslims...
Muslims would be... And I don't agree with this either, but if this were 15 years ago, we would have had a lot of retribution killings of Muslims in this country.
Interesting point.
Something has happened to the American psyche in the last 15 years, and really what I think, and I've written about this, psychologists call it learned helplessness. And if you'd like me to talk about it, I can.
Yeah, you know, I think people need to hear that.
Learned helplessness.
Yes.
It's a psychological construct that came out of the work of Martin Seligman, a pretty famous psychologist. And what he did was he did an experiment. If you're a dog lover, you're not going to like this. But he put a dog on an open field electrical grid and shocked it, and the dog jumped off. That was phase one. And what that proved was the dog had escapability from the painful stimulus. In phase two, he erected a barrier around the grid and shocked the dog repeatedly and repeatedly. The dog tried its best to get out, yelped, screamed, tried to jump the barrier, pushed through the barrier, nothing worked. And by the time they get to phase three, the dog had been really conditioned just to accept the shock because its actions didn't make a difference. So in phase three, Seligman removed the barriers, and so we're back to an open field electrical grid, shocked the dog, and the dog didn't move. The dog accepted the shock. And the moral of the story is here is that when your own actions for self-preservation are not reinforced, we basically give up hope. And this condition is labeled by psychologists as learned helplessness. It's one of the predictors of suicide, too. When we look at learned helplessness in the American society today, we know that what does the president have? A ridiculously low approval rating. Congress is at about 9%. We know the government's outside our control. We know they don't represent us. There's nothing we can do about it. We're the victim of tyranny. If you're white, you're bad. If you're black, you're bad. If you're gay, you're bad. If you're straight, you're bad. We are constantly picked at and labeled, and we have no recourse. And then Loretta Lynch mob tells us to shut up. We won't tolerate any talk against Muslims who murder American citizens. This is all adding up to the fact that we don't feel we're in control of our fate, and we've been conditioned by the media and by our government to have learned helplessness. The stuff that's going on today, just imagine if the hippies were in their full testosterone glory and valor. They'd be tearing this country apart right now with what's going on. Look what they did over Vietnam, and imagine what they would do over this.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Psychologically, the American people have been dumbed down, and we've been dumbed down to the point where we won't even fight for ourselves any longer. The American male has been emasculated. We're effeminate. We're just, it's striking what we see now. Some of it, could it be biological? Well, when you dump your psychotropic medications in the toilet and ends up in our drinking water because it can't be filtered out, and we know that males have much higher levels of estrogen now as a result, some of it could be biological. You know, fluoride has a similar effect. But I think a lot of it is just plain old learned helplessness, Doug. We refuse to fight for ourselves. Now, there is something that I know, too, from the psychological literature that can change this. The old barbaric practice of electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, hooking people up and shocking them at key brain centers, have actually caused people who are severely depressed to actually kind of fight back and stand up for themselves in their life. Well, we don't want to give people ECTs, and it wouldn't be possible to do so. But if we have a Tet offensive across this country, like I think is coming, we might see a lot more people waking up and striking back.
The information I have, personally, and based on research from open source and password-protected sites and ISIS sympathizers, is we're looking at some sort of coordinated attack, large-scale attack, bear style. We talked about this off-air between now and Christmas, okay? Between now and the end of the year, all right? That's their goal. I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that's what they're talking about. I'm telling you that's what they're saying. What are your thoughts? I mean, is that possible?
I mean, when I look at Abdul Aziz from Chattanooga in this most recent false flag attack in San Bernardino, they're preparing for something big. I just don't know the time frame. You know, I'll tell you, if I looked at this pragmatically from a political point of view, this is what I would say. I think we're a ways off from getting that attack if I were to use politics, and here's why. The people won't follow Obama now. They won't go along with martial law. It would be a bloodbath. He doesn't have any credibility. I think in some ways they might have to wait for Hillary to take the reins in January of 2017. So we might have 13, 14, 15 months. Now that's a political explanation. That doesn't mean the globalists are following, you know, political timelines, but Hillary would be a much more effective leader, and she'd have freshness in the White House where Obama's lost his luster. To me, if I were a globalist, I'd use Hillary before I'd use Barack Obama to lower the hammer on the American people.
I agree, but do you think that...
And they did the opposite. You know, Democratic primary, and they went to Bilderberg together. 2 days later, Hillary resigned.
Yeah, and Chantilly, Hillary was, or Obama was selected, if you will, from that crowd. But okay, I'm just trying to work this out. Can you smell the wires burning in my head? I'm trying to work this out here, Dave.
See, I don't want Hillary. She becomes president. She's already said, you know, I'm not running for a third term for Barack Obama. And then there's a commercial where they do this phone call late at night, and he's like, you know, it's your turn.
Do you think we're going to make it to the elections, Dave? I mean, what's your gut telling you? Do you think we're going to make it there, and do you think we're going to have them?
If I just go off the sheer events and how they're increasing in intensity and what I know is coming into this country, no.
Right.
If I were to be pragmatic and not emotional and just look at political timelines, I'd say yes. I don't know which one's right. I don't have a feel for it. You know, I also have thought this too. Obama might be allowed to initiate the crackdown. He leaves office naturally. Hillary comes in with new promises, only it gets worse.
Right.
I think that's possible too. I think that's a real possible scenario. And yeah, I'm saying it very clearly, folks. Hillary Clinton, if it gets that far, will be your next president. It will not be Donald Trump. I still have very serious reservations about his candidacy. The man's an insider. He attended Clinton's weddings events for their family. They were personal friends. He's destroying the Republican Party right now by making the other Republican candidates look like they're soft on terrorism and soft on anything evil. And I think that's the plan, to get Hillary elected by him destroying the Republicans. I think he's Ross Perot, you know, inside the Trojan horse. I'd like to believe he's sincere. He says the right things, but I still think he's a Trojan horse.
So what you're saying, if I'm hearing this correctly, you're saying that perhaps Trump is the spoiler, intended spoiler, not consequential, but intended spoiler, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he'll blow his own election. You remember Ross Perot would have been elected had he not done that nonsense with his daughter's wedding? The man would have won the election. He was so far ahead. It's kind of like, okay, well, you were supposed to pull votes away from George Bush.
Right.
You weren't supposed to pull that many.
I got some Yeah, but Ross Perot, go ahead, Joe.
His family was threatened that they would be killed if he did not immediately drop out of the election.
His son recently made
a comment about that when asked if he would enter politics, because his son has amassed more wealth than his father has, I believe, now. And he says, never again will we enter politics. We saw, you know, the ugly side of that already, and, you know, we're done with that.
But, yeah, but back to Dave, what you're saying, Trump, spoiler, Hillary elected because of all this kind of short-circuiting.
That's and, what I think the plan is.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, Trump is an insider. He's had a seat at the table of many of the big wigs in this country, economically speaking. He doesn't have anything in common with us. He doesn't live in the same world we do. He lives in the world of I don't pay taxes and I have offshore tax havens. Why all of a sudden would he decide to help us when he's entering a totally different world than the one he's ever lived in?
Well, let me ask you a question, okay? Because let's just say that we're all wrong. And let's say Trump happens to sneak up and takes the nomination, ultimately becomes the man in the White House. Do you see where this could turn into like a Hitler-esque kind of? I mean, because people are so hungry for change. I mean, remember pre-Obama?
Yeah,
and they're so hungry for it, man.
I couldn't see Hillary coming now because, you know, the people are sick of the Obama and the Democrats. I just like at the end of Bush's candidacy. People were just so sick and tired of him.
But thinking outside the box, okay, so Trump gets up there and all of a sudden he's the benevolent dictator at first and then clamps down on everything because, you know, people, I mean, you know, look at this.
Kind of the American political version of the Antichrist.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I hear what you're saying. That's an interesting thought. I mean, I hadn't thought about that before. You know, I think on one level that makes sense. I will tell you this. If Trump's candidacy is real, I mean, he's flying in the face of the globalists. And I wrote an article at one time on the Common Sense Show that said, Trump will be assassinated by a man with a diary. And what I'm referencing was, allegedly, and I say allegedly, Lee Harvey Oswald, lone nut assassin with a diary, kills Kennedy. You got James Earl Ray, kills Martin Luther King. He had a diary saying what he's going to do, same as Oswald. Bobby Kennedy, Sirhan Sirhan, he had the famous diary. You know, my dad used to laugh at this stuff. He said, you know, you recognize a cover story when you see it times three. And I believe that Trump, if he's sincere in his candidacy, will not survive for the election. They'll kill him, the same as they did Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah, I agree. I would be, I'd be having, I don't think I'd be eating out, number one. No, I'd be ordering, I'd have my own cooks and food tasters. And yeah, and certainly wouldn't be flying in small planes, that's for sure.
I would be building a deep underground bunker if I had Trump's money. He can't change what's going to happen. Satan's in charge. And until we go through the 7 years and Jesus returns, we're in for a hell of a ride, guys.
Amen. Well, Dave, we only have about a minute and a half left. Tell our listeners about your new show, where they can hear it, how they can hear it.
Well, the new show is a lot like the old show. It's the Common Sense Show, and it's right here on Global Star Radio Network. So the way you're listening to Doug and Joe and I right now, you can certainly do the same thing. We are on at 4 o'clock Eastern to 5 o'clock. Our flagship station is WMQM, 50,000-watt station out of Memphis, 1600 AM on the dial. They've got several affiliates, and I'm told we have up to 2 million listeners. So we're pretty excited to get the word out. I think I just put a much bigger bullseye on my back, though.
Oh, yeah, you did. And we're going to publish your home address. And never mind. I'm just kidding.
They already have it. They know where I live. And don't forget, back in 2009, I'm interviewing Jim Mars at my other house, and my house got shot at 8 times with a full boatload of people in the house, and it was witnessed by people, 12 calls to the police department, is what they told me. So I've been there, done that.
And see, you're on the front lines, literally. Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.com. Good friend of the program, good friend, period. Going to be on his program on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely, on the first hour. Thank Don't you. Miss
first
it.
First hour.
Doug Hagman.
God bless you, my friend.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, guys, great for
hour.
Having me. Good talking
great
to
interview.
You.
God Anytime. Bless you, buddy. What a great guy. What a great interview.
That's we'll be back fantastic. With Stan Dale for hour number 3. Stay with us.
All righty.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.